You're listening to a CNA podcast.
Everyone wants to know, is the industry I'm in now or about to go to going to get a pay bump?
There has been a talent shortage for supply chain in the region, and so that's driven up salaries.
I'm interested in the tech space. We know that this has been a growing space for quite some time. We've heard a lot about like how sometimes even the wages are even inflated.
So tech, I mean, I think compared to, say, the supply chain, A&F and the banking financial services probably won't see as significant an increment this year.
Hi, this is Tiffany and Gerald on the Work It podcast. It's the start of 2025, and that means fresh beginnings.
And usually this is the time that we're all thinking, is there a way to increase my salary?
Yes.
So in today's pod, we'll be asking a few questions about salary trends for 2025. One, if you're thinking of moving industries, what are some pay increments to expect in the new year?
And two, which sectors are likely to get a pay bump? Lastly, what are in-demand professions this year? You don't want to miss our discussion. And a quick reminder that we have an AMA question that you have sent us, which we will talk about at the end of the main discussion.
So Tiffany, what's the question for today?
So today's question was sent in by our listener, George. He's in his 50s and he's looking to take it slow at work, but he thinks his boss is likely to give him more work. He's wondering if he should ask for a demotion. Interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stay with us because we'll get to George's question at the end.
So let's start with our main topic for today's part. Tiffany, for a start, let me ask you, in the new year, do you have a resolution? Are you thinking about salary increases?
Yeah, so I like to work towards a salary increase for sure, but not just any increase, a nice fat bump
would be
nice. And I think that there are people who will go a step further and are perhaps thinking of changing jobs. Maybe 2024 hadn't been a very good year for them. So they want to know, are there industries they should go for where they are perhaps likely paid better in 2025?
So that's great. That's what we're going to get into today. Our guest is the director at recruitment firm, Robert Walters, Singapore. And they have recently released their salary survey, or what I call the crystal ball for salary expectation and trends. So welcome, Kirsty Porter.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Kirsty, everyone wants to know, is the industry I'm in now or about to go to going to get a pay bump? Tell us, were there any surprises this year with the survey that you guys did?
I think consulting the crystal ball, no major surprises. I think what we saw is that the main areas or for industries that will see significant pay increments will be in supply chain and procurement, with businesses trying to optimize their solutions.
Mm.
Accounting and finance, particularly with regards to business partnering roles or roles that can drive profitability.
Mm.
And then equally in banking and financial services, we're seeing that increase. Those would be where you'd see the most significant increments.
Okay. I mean, banking and finance, I know we traditionally have always thought about it as the money-making sector. So I think that's no surprise there. But why supply chain? I mean, have things kind of changed in 2025?
I think ultimately there has been a talent shortage for supply chain in the region.
Mm.
And so that's driven up salaries. And the fact that obviously this is a clear area for organizations to want to look at optimization and controlling cost. So they are willing to look at driving the salaries up to secure the right talent.
Mm.
I think beyond 2025, that will probably stabilize. But 2025 will definitely be the year to capitalize if you're in that space.
What exactly in this sector are they trying to optimize?
I think they're looking at their processes, trying to centralize their processes, and obviously look at where they can achieve the most cost savings, so streamlining the processes in their supply chain. Obviously, a lot of supply chain processes have been offshored, but then the decision makings are still happening from Singapore. So it's more a question of having the right strategic individuals at a management level to really kind of focus on sort of digital transformation, data interpretation, to make sure that they are getting the right cost savings for the business.
The industries that Kirsty brought up, they are the traditionally growing ones.
Mm.
Every year, if you follow the reports, every year you can see steady increases in terms of salary.
Mm.
I'm interested in the tech space. We know that this has been a growing space for quite some time. We've heard a lot about like how sometimes even the wages are even inflated because of the labor shortages. So Kirsty, what would you comment on like the growing roles within the tech sector?
So tech, I mean, I think compared to, say, the supply chain, A&F and the banking financial services probably won't see as significant an increment this year. But for strategic roles, you will see that kind of 20% increment if you're moving roles. And that would be more data scientists and analysts. cybersecurity is still a huge space to invest in, and one that if you're talented, you will secure a good increment, and software engineers.
Mm.
Also, individuals with an experience in AI and machine learning, huge space.
I mean, the AI and machine learning thing, I think it's across many different industries, but you're saying that especially more so in the tech industry because there's going to be a big race this year.
Yeah.
We want to get into the details because I think people want to talk about the money bit, right? So if I am staying in the tech sector and I'm asking for a pay increment, how much would companies be willing to give their employees?
So what we're seeing across the market is for strategic roles up to 20%.
Wow.
If you move, right? If you're going to stay with your current organization, what we've seen from our respondents is most likely there'll be a sort of 2 to 5% increment based on inflation.
Okay, so it pays to jump then?
Could do.
Well, if you have the skills, then you jump, right? I mean, you could jump within the sector.
Yeah, absolutely, you could do.
So help me to understand. Companies want to attract talent, but why not then retain them? If they jump companies, they get a 20% pay increase, but if they stay, they're only getting 2 to 5%. Why don't companies, to retain that talent, try and match that 20% as well?
I think what you have to think about when you're retaining individuals is not just about the increment. You're also looking at all the other elements that you want to provide. So a lot of companies are looking at that flexible working. And obviously, we've had that new legislation from the government. But before that, organizations have been really focusing on how do they increase flexibility, well-being of employees, giving them rotational programs so that if they ever wanted to pivot within their career, they can already learn those skills within their current organization. So whilst increments are important, it's not the only factor for why an individual would be retained.
Mm.
And 2 to 5% is kind of the average. Of course, for strategic roles in an organization, organizations well understand that those individuals will be tapped up. So they will look at being competitive, but they will look at the overall package rather than just the increment.
Mm.
I think what Kirsty mentioned is really important. While we might look at it as 20% versus 5%, the truth is it takes a lot for someone to make a change in their job role. There are a lot of uncertain unknowns. Most of the time, people would prefer to have some sort of stability and maybe that 5% would be good enough for them. But coupled with all the other things that Kirsty was saying, right, the flexible work, and especially in the tech industry, I think that's what they also want. They want that little bit of increment and they want that little bit more autonomy. They want to see more connection between their work and themselves.
Yeah. And also not forgetting that we're just talking about increments here. So people who stay could be also promised a big bonus as well, right? So that's for the tech sector. Let's go back a little bit to that supply chain sector. How much of an increment are we looking at if you stay and if you jump?
So the blanket figures that we have from our survey are if you stay across all sectors, it'll be between sort of 2 and 5%.
Mm.
So that kind of stands regardless of sector. But in supply chain, we'd be looking at somewhere around 15% as an increment.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. If you jump.
If you jump.
Okay. And if you stay.
And you're in a strategic role. So that would be things like a regional logistics and distribution manager, a supply chain project manager, and anyone in the sustainability space related to procurement as well. That's a core focus.
When you mentioned core focus, of the sustainable procurement manager, give us an idea of like what an employer would be paying for someone doing that kind of a role.
So the salary?
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh, I'd need to consult the crystal ball. I mean, I think the salaries in that sort of area can range from sort of maybe 12K upwards, depending on where your skill set is in that sustainable space.
Right.
Because it's such a core topic, not just within supply chain, but across the industry and for Singapore.
Yes.
And we don't have enough talent in that space, to be honest.
So green jobs is something that we will be seeing an upward pay bump. Okay, that's good to know because I think some people, they may feel very passionate about the climate and everything, but they're also thinking, you know, it feels like a very altruistic role, but you're saying that a lot of companies are going to try and move towards, you know, considering that as a strategic role.
Yeah.
So they will be, you know, looking to shore up as much talent as possible in this area.
I think you've seen over the last few years that companies have put more and more focus on sustainability. And now it's a core sort of metric in the business with clear goals for the next 3 to 5 years, depending on the organization. And now they have to be robust in that and have the right talent to drive that.
Mm.
So that's where I think also from a perspective of a job seeker can capitalize on that moment.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of individuals I met. They always express interest in the ESG, in the green climate roles. So they're always asking like which other industries also have similar evolving roles that would integrate some of these green concepts or green thinking.
I've mainly seen them in the supply chain space, oil and gas, shipping, those kind of areas.
Mm-hmm.
And also is looking at how these companies are able to tap into government grants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because these companies will be saying that, okay, if you are in Singapore and the government is going to put a hefty sum into this green fund, this grant, then companies will be trying to tap into that. And then they'll be trying to create more roles or retain talent for this sustainable manager, right?
Yeah. This is definitely a space that I would recommend that if somebody's considering like a career switch, they can start to build their skill set towards, because I think it's a forward moving role that will continue to evolve.
Mm. Yeah.
I think for many businesses, business owners that I've met, they are still quite new to this and they don't really know what exactly the role is about, but they know it's important.
Mm.
So this is definitely something to watch out for in the coming years.
Mm. I know a lot of people in the sales and marketing sector, and a lot of people are moving into that because obviously commissions are higher in that place and they may be at the stage of their life where they are hustling, right? So what are the increments going to be like in that sector?
If they're moving, again, sort of 15 to 20%. But the individuals that move need to be able to demonstrate that they have a good balance between business development skills
mm-hmm.
and account management. I think historically, potentially account management skills have kind of driven it more. But now we do need those BD skills to be coming through as well.
Mm.
So that would be something to present out to market if you were moving.
Okay, so a little bit lower than the ones that we have talked about before, which is about 20%. You are talking about 15%.
I think in most of these roles, you've got significant bonuses or commission, right? So the base doesn't have to be as highly incremented to move forward.
And if you stay, what sort of increments are we looking at?
Around 5%.
That's still significant. Mm. Yeah.
Well, we want to retain our salespeople, right? Like driving our profits.
Exactly. In every company. We need them. A lot of people listening to this podcast are also from the human resource sector. There's a lot more extra work that our HR friends will have to do this year. Flexible work arrangements, things like companies calling for more return to office policies, and then people getting pissed off and wanting to leave or quit.
Yeah.
So human resources, how much pay increments are we talking about in this sector?
Again, probably somewhere around 15 to 20%. If you're moving within internally, it'll probably be 3 to 5%. But there are certain roles that I think you'd see significant increments for. Those would be HR business partners, but those really commercially focused HR business partners that are very strategic and working with the general management to drive like the business processes.
Mm.
Talent management, because that's obviously how we're going to retain our talent and develop them. And total rewards, that's a huge area of focus at the C-suite level. A number of organizations are looking for senior total reward specialists in order to support the C-suite with their decision-making.
Mm. Interesting. Why so? I'm curious to know why now.
I think there's obviously the focus on cost, right? Total rewards will review all of that. And now there's more of that emphasis on really reviewing that in a holistic manner at more than ever. So there's a lot more demand for it. And there aren't that many individuals with that experience.
Mm.
So again, if you're in an HR role and you have the opportunity to start touching on total rewards, comp and ben, I'd advise you to start moving into that within your organization, because that's a skill that's really going to build up.
Or would there be certain industries where more functional roles can expect a higher pay increment?
So let's say for HR, we've seen a stronger emphasis in the pharma industry.
Mm.
Also, FS continues to be an area of focus within the FMCG space as well.
Okay. Are there sort of sectors that unfortunately may not do as well this year?
I don't think any worse than last year. The reality is that when it comes, if we're talking about increments, this is on the forefront of every organization's mind in the thought process of they want to retain their talent. So looking at the increments and valuing the talent they've got, but also providing the flexibility or the holistic overall package is important.
Mm.
But I think what's important as a job seeker is also to think about security of the decision of what kind of industry you're moving into and what kind of organization and what the track record's been.
Mm.
You can't just look at that increment and go, right, I want that 20%. You've got to look at the full picture.
That's true. Big tech has had quite a big year last year with the rise and the fall, right? We've seen really big layoffs even just a few months ago. So bearing in mind that you can be looking for that 20% increment, but there is no guarantee that by the end of the year, you still have a position, right?
I think we've seen over the last few years more retrenchments, more instability. And I think job security at any experience level in the market is important. But I suppose if you're moving, you would have a certain level of risk appetite, right? I suppose if you're earlier in your career, you might have more. And if you've got a lot of financial commitments, you probably need to take it all into account.
We know that the economy, maybe next year, I'm not sure the outlook of how it would look like, probably similar to this year. But for the average listener who's employed and who's thinking, should I move? There's really a lot on their minds beyond the salary. They're considering the flexible work arrangement. They're considering probably other areas of need that they might have. Mm. So they might even be considering like security in terms of like their own personal growth, right? If today the company cannot guarantee me employment security, then where's the security going to come from? It will come from the individual's own skill set and how they're able to apply and to invest in that area so that they can produce more, be more productive. Mm. We also have to ask ourselves, like, do we deserve the increment? And what do we have to command that kind of 20% more?
Yeah.
Right? Because everybody wants that 20% more, but do you have that difference?
Yeah.
Are you able to articulate the experiences you have, or are you just merely trying to go for a higher paying job all the time?
Yeah. Mm. I think that's a really good point, because we all would like a bigger increment, 15, 20%, but that comes with expectation. And if you can't deliver on that, that will be a challenge, right? So we've also got to benchmark our own role, see where our skill set sits, where we can add value, what additional responsibility we can take to justify that increment. Mm.
Maybe in this line next year, if you are thinking about getting an increment, also think about investing in yourself so that you can get the increment.
Yeah.
It's not just about changing the job, but it's about really deepening your skill sets, increasing the repertoire of your experiences and also your portfolios so that you can really go in confidence to ask for what you think you deserve.
Yeah. Mm. So thank you so much, Kirsty, for coming on and sharing this insight. We hope for anyone listening in that your 2025 will bring in fresh beginnings, fresh promises, and hopefully at the end of the year, you'll be happy with what you have done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is our Ask Me Anything segment, where Gerald and I get a question from you, and then we will help give a different perspective to it. So let's dive straight in. Our listener, George, sent this question, and it's something I'm sure many people face at some stage in their career. George is in his 50s and is in a fairly senior position in his company, but he says there are some changes and he's likely to take on more roles. Although, here is where the kicker comes. George says, let me read, "At this point, I feel I want to actually focus on how I want to spend the rest, which is the last one third or so of his life. Instead of continuing to stress out on work and climbing the ladder, I've also lost my passion for the work. So I think right now it's mainly a source of income for me." George wants to scale down on his work commitments and spend time getting healthier, pursuing his interest in art, maybe even use his skills future credits to reskill and do a different field of work. So he wants to know, how can he go about managing this? And more importantly, should he ask for a demotion?
Wow. I think for someone in George's situation, it's what I would term as like a fairly uneasy feeling, a stuck feeling. So typically when someone like George in their maybe 50s, maybe approaching 60s, a lot of professionals, they start to think this way like George. They start to wonder like, okay, the retirement is coming up. Do I still want to do what I want to do? And then sometimes there are push factors like changes in the company, expectations, people loading more work. And they feel like, I don't want to do this anymore. My life, my career is coming to an end. How should my life look like? And then this is the place where they are finally find themselves in this, what you call the transitioning space, where they're not quite ready to move on into something new yet, but they're also not quite ready to let go of what's present. So that's why it can be a bit uneasy. And questions like, hey, should I get a demotion, or should I leave the company or do something totally different, upskill and reskill into something new? These will be thoughts that will just flood in.
Yeah. And I think also when you're in your 50s, likely so your finances might be a bit more secure. Maybe you have paid off a housing loan, your children, they're probably adults at this point of time. So finances is not something that maybe George is worried about. So how can he approach it? How can he have this conversation with his boss?
I think before having any conversation with bosses, George will need to have a conversation with himself first, right? To kind of take stock how his career has been going, right? It's really important for us to kind of map back that 20, 30, 35 years of work experiences. What have we achieved and what have we done? How much of these achievements and things that we have done and experiences we've clocked in, right, was actually something that we felt really meant a lot to us?
Okay.
How did we grow through this process? Because we need to know where we are right now and how we have developed to this point before we are able to think about what's the next step. It's almost like writing a story. You can't write in the next chapter without looking back at the chapters that have been written before.
That's true.
There must have been certain things that he really enjoyed doing and certain things that made him who he is today. So who is that George today, and how does he want to move forward from it? What would the new version of him look like? So that's part of taking stock. The other thing is also kind of prepare himself for different scenarios to make certain decisions that maybe people might not understand.
Okay.
For example, taking a demotion is not something that most people would agree or encourage.
Yeah. Say, oh, I'm sure his peers would be like, oh, so silly. Why would you do that? Company want to give you money, just take.
Exactly. But, you know, that's why George, having done that stock take, that review of themselves, and then thinking about their life, not just thinking about work, but thinking more about their family, the life after retirement as well, start to vision a little bit more, start to talk to your family members and maybe let's say spouses or kids and start to vision like what would life outside of work look like. And start to have those conversations as well before you go to your boss. It's like the boss is the last thing.
Okay.
It's like when you have kind of decided and you're very sure, because you know what, whatever you say already kind of sets the kind of expectations in the workplace. If you tell your boss, I don't think I'm up for it, right? You can almost imagine all the opportunities in the future.
Yeah.
It will not come to you.
Yeah. But I think if George is very clear that this is it and he would really like to take a step back, not ready for retirement, not ready to be fired, of course. I think one of the conversations that he can have with his boss is to say, look, I've done so much for the company. I've learned so much. I would actually like to be a mentor to people who are younger or people who have just joined the company. George says he's in a fairly senior position in the company. See this as an opportunity to look out for who can take over his role in future.
Yeah.
I actually think that the younger people in the company would very much appreciate that, especially his boss.
Yeah, Tiffany, that's absolutely correct. One of the important tasks developmentally for an individual as they reach retirement age, right, they often wonder, have I done what I needed to do? Have I made the world a better place? Was my life a total waste of time, or did I really contribute something, right? And mentoring somebody, building up somebody else, it adds to leaving a legacy behind.
Oh, yes.
So for them to realize that they have supported a younger colleague with their career, maybe a couple of them, so that when you take a step back from work in future, you realize that, hey, a part of you still stays in the company. You know, and then it actually helps the person's life. You made this young person's life better because the person is now more confident, is able to manage his family, her family, and lead in the company as well. So all of this makes us just feel like, hey, we lived a life that was quite meaningful.
Yeah. I feel we're only just scratching the surface right here, because it sounds like there's so much more that we can unpack here. But in the interest of time, maybe we could even come back and do a bigger, a longer topic on this. Maybe invite someone on the show. George, if you are interested, you come and join us, okay? If, like George, you have a work-related question, send it to us. We are at cnapodcasts@mediacorp.com.sg. We're also on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube. The team behind the Work It podcast is Crispina Robert, Joanne Chan, Junaini Johari, and Saye Win. Sound mixing by Kerry Lim, video by Hanida Amin.
I'm Gerald.
And I'm Tiffany. Have a super work week ahead.